I'm starting a new series just called Cry Out to God. It's going to span these 21 days, four Sundays, 21 days. But today's message is more of a conversation and less of a message. Because I don't know if you've noticed, but something in our world has changed or is changing. There's been a spiritual shift occurring for several months now, maybe over a year or two, I don't know. But there's been a shift, and I want to talk about that. And let me first kind of give you the what I see as the bad news. Our country has been on a spiritual decline for over 30 years. To kind of frame it, all of my adult life or all of my ministry life, the church in America has been in a pretty significant decline. And recently, in the last, say, 5-10 years or more, it's accelerated. So I'll give you a few stats. I don't want to nerd out too much on church stats, but let me give you a few of them just to help you get your mind around what I'm talking about. Religiously unaffiliated adults, okay? People who say, I don't affiliate with any religion, has gone up 33% in the last 13 years in America. So that's significant. 15,000 churches will close this year. Now, we will open about 3,000 to 4,000. But you can see that's nowhere close to the number that's needed to replace the ones that are closing. So, easily 10,000 churches a year are closing. Just to give you kind of a macro look at that, if we continue to close, have a net loss of 10,000 churches a year in America for the next 10 years, that's 100,000 churches, or about a third of all U.S. churches. That's the net loss we're talking about. So there's a massive decline. Now, let me give you the good news, okay? How many of you, you're like, I did not come to church, you know, right, for bad news. Let me give you some good news. God is doing something. It's too early to tell what it is. It's too early to tell what it will become. But God is moving, and we're seeing these little outpourings and these little spot fires, and we're seeing mass baptisms, and we're seeing people becoming open to God. Let me give you a stat on that. 44% of U.S. adults say they're more open to God now than they were before the pandemic. That's not too far from half. Bible reading crashed to an all-time low in 2024, with 30% of adults saying that they read the Bible on a regular basis. In 2025, in 1 year, it shot up to 42%. And Bible sales and Bible app usage has seen dramatic increases. As a matter of fact, just yesterday, in Dallas, Texas, the Passion Conference ended. You may have never heard of the Passion Conference. Let me tell you what it is. 45,000 18 to 25-year-olds from 1,700 colleges, all 50 states, and 77 countries gathered to worship and to hear God's word. So these things are happening, and they're typically happening among millennials and Gen Z. That's where we see it. And a lot of them so far are happening outside the church. So if you've been a part of Kingwood since the pandemic or, say, in the last couple of years, you may remember that the Holy Spirit spoke very clearly to us coming out of the pandemic, one word that we were to hold on to and to engage with, and that word is deeper. How many of you remember that? It's time to go deeper, right? To go deeper in God's word, to go deeper with God, to go deeper with faith, to go deeper with our church family and become living stones. And so what I want to do this morning is I hear the Holy Spirit now. After 5 years, I've heard the Holy Spirit give us a second word. It won't replace the first word. It will strengthen it and guide it. And here's the word, prepare. It's time to prepare. It's time to prepare for whatever it is that God is already doing, and for whatever it is that God is going to do. And these 21 days Is our heart and spiritual preparation as a church, as pastors, as leaders, as individuals, as a community of faith, it's not only our preparation for this year, it's our preparation for this season. And so my invitation to you today is to jump in and begin to prepare your heart. Now, how do we prepare? Well, I want to say this. The things that we're seeing in the world, among millennials and Gen Z, among the Bible says, all of that stuff, it's all fantastic, and it was unexpected, and in some ways unprecedented, but it's not revival. I want to be very clear about that. It's not revival because none of the macro trends have changed yet. Nothing has occurred yet large enough or impactful enough to significantly change any of the major trends. And so we will know that revival has occurred when trends begin to change nationally or regionally or at least in a state. That's when we'll know that something unbelievable, something historic is occurring. Now, look, we can't cause revival. We can't plan a revival. We can't decide to have a revival. Revival is a sovereign move of God. And things are changing and God is moving. What we can do is we can prepare our heart for whatever it is that God is doing, so as he continues to do it and the more of it that he does, we can be ready and prepared. So that's why we've just called this series, Cry Out to God. When do you cry out? You cry out when you're in trouble. I don't know if you've seen the news. We're in trouble. I don't know if you look on the world stage or the local stage or the national stage. We are in trouble. Things are not going well. We need God to do something, not just to fix the world, but to fix our hearts, to fix our minds, to fix our souls. Like, things are not okay. And I don't want to be a prophet of doom, and I'm not a prophet, but I'll make sort of a subtle prediction. I don't think they're going to get better. I think they're going to get worse. And so what do we do as believers? Prepare our hearts. So here's what it comes down to. What do you really want? Like, in your life, what do you really want? I'll give you an interesting exercise that you can do to help you figure that out. Jerry Jenkins, who's an author, uses an exercise to help kind of uncover what's at the bottom of a person's motivation. And this is a great exercise that we can use to figure out what is it that we really desire. So here's what you do. You take a blank document and you start with the sentence, I really want, and then fill in the blank. Whatever comes to your mind, it doesn't matter. Whatever comes to your mind. It might be ice cream. It might be pizza. It might be, Lord, can Alabama ever win again? You know, whatever. Whatever you want. You can put in that blank, and then maybe I want a day off, and then sit for a minute and think about it. And now write another sentence. But what I really want is, and go a layer deeper, and it may sound something like this. I want a new car. I want a promotion. I want sexual fulfillment. Wait a few minutes. You may do this over a few days. You may do this over 21 days. And then go a layer deeper. But I really want deeper friendships. I really want greater purpose. I really want greater meaning in my life. And the more you do that, the more layers deep you will go in discovering what your true desires are. And when you get to the deepest part of your heart, do you know what you'll find? You'll find that what you really want is God. And do you know why? Because Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says that he has put eternity in the heart of every person. Now, it might be buried below layers of superficial wants or unmet needs. It might be buried below, you know, layers of things that unmet expectations. But when you get to the bottom of your heart, when you get to the deepest part of your heart, what you're really going to be in touch with is your desire for God, because God made your heart to want him. And until you get in touch with that, you haven't gotten to the bottom of it. This is a similar message that God sent to a church in the New Testament. In Revelation chapter 2, God sent a message to the Ephesian church. And if you didn't get the announcement earlier, sorry, we're having some difficulty with our slides. I don't. Maybe you noticed. Our tech team's been working on it all morning, and we can't get it to work right. It's delayed. Yeah, that's my cue to give them a chance to put it up there. But it's delayed. But can I tell you something? I'm so proud and so grateful of our tech team and our worship team and everything that they do to make all of this work. Can you just give it up for them? I'm so proud of them and grateful for them. And so I'm sorry, we're on a little bit of delay. We've worked on it all morning and we can't fix it. Appreciate your patience with that. But I want to read this story, this event, when God sent a message to the church in Ephesus, and I want you to hear what he said. He said in verse 2, I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You've persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Okay, so here's what's occurring. This church has a spiritual problem. So far, it doesn't sound like it. This church has a spiritual problem. What is the spiritual problem? Is it they do bad things? No. This verse says that they do good things. Their deeds were good. Is it that they're lazy and apathetic? No. They worked hard, the Bible says, and served well. Is it that they get discouraged easily and they give up? No, this verse says they persevered. Is it that they believe false doctrine and bad teaching and they follow false teachers? No. This says that they tested the false apostles and would not tolerate them. Is it that they're soft and uncommitted? No, this is they endured hardship and suffering in Jesus' name. These are good, faithful people, and they get a lot of the big stuff right. So what is the problem? Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 tells us in this message from the angel to the church what the problem is. He says, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had it first. You got all of this other stuff right. You believe the right things and you do the right things, but you've lost your first love. So Jesus may have been their second love. He may have been their third love or their fifth love or their 48th love. But somehow along the way, Jesus had gotten lost among all the other things. So let me ask you a question this morning. What's going on in your heart? As you start 2026, what is going on in your heart? Where is Jesus at in your heart? Has something like this happened to you? Has Jesus somehow drifted to second place or fifth place? He's your second love or your fifth love. And you say, hey, look, second's not that bad, right? I mean, second's pretty good. When here in a few weeks when we have a national championship and there's a football team, there's going to be a winner and a loser. There's going to be a first place and a second place. We're like, hey, at least they made it to the game. Like, they're better than all the other teams in America, but one. That's kind of our rating system. Second's not bad. It's not a big deal. And second's not a big deal if you're a good person, right? It's not even that far from first place. But listen, the message continues in Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. Listen to what the angel says to this kind of thinking. Consider how far you've fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. Remember how far you've fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. What is he saying? You fell further than you thought. And second place might as well be last. This is bad. This is no small thing. And in cultural Christianity and consumer Christianity, we just grow numb to the fact and accept the reality that Jesus is second or third or fifth or tenth or whatever else, or we'll get to him when we have time. Like, we just accept that. But this message that came to the church in Ephesus was, second is last. First is first. And this is a first love kind of issue. And the warning that was given to this church was this. This is a huge offense to God. This is a huge offense. This is lampstand removal level offense. Putting Jesus second place in your life, having him as your second love, loving anything or anyone more than Jesus is a lampstand removal kind of offense. So if Jesus, what he's saying to them is, if Jesus is not your first love, and if you don't repent, I'm going to come and remove the lampstand. Now, what does that mean? Well, to understand what that means, you've got to go back into this church's history. In Acts chapter 19, we see what happened in the church of Ephesus a few decades earlier. Let me just explain some of the things that were going on. Paul the apostle laid his hands on 12 disciples, and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they prophesied and they spoke in tongues. Paul taught in Ephesus and at the church of Ephesus for 2 years, but listen to this. He taught and his teaching spread so far, the Bible says that all the Jews and all the Greeks in the province of Asia heard the message. God was moving in such extraordinary ways that they would bring aprons and handkerchiefs to Paul the apostle, and if he laid his hands on them, they would take those handkerchiefs and aprons and they would touch sick people with them, and the sick people would experience a miracle and a healing, and they would be completely cured. And when those aprons and handkerchiefs were touched to people who had evil spirits in them, the evil spirits were driven out. I mean, this is unbelievable kind of stuff. There was a confrontation between light and darkness in the city of Ephesus that was so strong that fear gripped the city. But the Bible also says that Jesus' name was held in high honor in that city. People openly and publicly confessed their sins. There was a lot of witchcraft and sorcery and all this stuff. And so people brought their sorcery books and burned them. Now, let me tell you why that's a big deal. There, you can't go to, you know, Barnes & Nobles or Amazon and just ship you a new book. When you had a book in that era, that book had been hand-copied from some other book. Or it had been notes that had been taken for years and years and years and cataloged in one place in a book. Some of those books were irreplaceable. And those books were very valuable. The Bible said 50,000 drachmas worth of sorcery books were thrown into a bonfire and burned because of the way God was moving. In today's money, that would be about $4 million worth. Now, they could have sold the books. They didn't want to sell them. They burned them. Like, can you believe what God is doing in their heart? And the Bible says the word of God spread widely and grew in power. There is a white, hot, powerful move of God occurring in Ephesus, not just in the church, in the city. But depending on how you date it, 15 to 35 years later, somewhere in that range, God sends an angel to the church of Ephesus with a message. And the message is, look how far you've fallen. What happened? You were running a good race. Who cut in? Who threw you off? You've left your first love. That's the message that that church that experienced that move of God got. And if you don't repent, I'm going to come and remove your lampstand. Now, what does that mean? What is a lampstand? It's a light. It's a light that shines. It's a light that shined in that city. Do you remember when I just shared with you that one of the miraculous things that was occurring is that the word of the Lord, the light, the lamp unto your feet and the light unto your path, the word of the Lord was spreading rapidly through that city and growing in power and strength? There was a light in that city, and there was a witness in that city. And what he's saying to them is, but it cooled off. And if you don't repent and return to your first love, you will cease to be a light. The light will be snuffed out. The light won't shine through you anymore. You'll cease to make an impact and the gospel will stop spreading. And you know why? Because outsiders will look at your life and they won't believe it. And you know why they won't believe it? Because you don't believe it. Because Jesus isn't your first love. He's your second or third or fourth and fifth. It just won't. Your salt will lose its saltiness. The light will be hidden under a bowl. And the message to this church at Ephesus is, your light's going to go out if you don't repent and return to your first love. So, that brings us back to the question, what do we want? Do we want to be the movement of hope God called us to be? Do we want to shine a light into Shelby County and the world? There's only one way to do that. There's only one way to do that. It's for Jesus to be our first love. He's got to be our first love because Jesus is the only hope we have to give. We don't have a technique, we don't have a plan, we don't have a religion, we don't have a strategy. We have one thing, and it's the best thing. We have Jesus. Jesus is the hope of the world. Just 2 weeks ago, we gathered together in our Christmas outreach service, and Pastor Alana was able to celebrate with us and announce that last year, we had 153 people who came to faith in Jesus through this church. And that was a powerful moment. But I want to tell you, there was more going on in that moment than we were aware of at the time. When that announcement was made and we all celebrated, the Holy Spirit spoke to one of our prayer team. I didn't even catch it at the time. But the Holy Spirit spoke to a lady on our prayer team and said, that number 153 is significant. Go look that number up in the Bible. So she did. And where she found it is in the event when Jesus had been resurrected and he appears to some of the disciples when they're fishing on the lake and they've been fishing all night and they catch nothing. And Jesus speaks from shore and says, throw the net on the other side. They throw the net on the other side, and the net is filled and overflowing with fish. And they drag this net that's so overflowing, it's breaking into the shoreline, and they count the fish, and do you know how many there are? 153. Now, the Spirit speaks to this lady on our prayer team and says, now read what happens next. That's my word for Kingwood Church. So here it is. What happens next, if you read through John 21, you can see that Jesus prepares breakfast for the disciples, and he has breakfast with them on the seashore and fellowships with them, and then after breakfast, they get down to the core issue. He looks at the Apostle Peter, and he says, do you love me? He says, yes. Of course I love you. You know I love you. He says, okay. Second time. Do you really love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Then comes the third time in John chapter 21, verse 17. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. What does this mean? It means that before the feeding of the sheep, Jesus wanted to show the Apostle Peter's heart to him. And he wanted to fellowship with him and spend time with him before he showed him the core issue. And Jesus shows Peter his heart. Then he says, feed my sheep. What is the message to our church? Heart goes before mission. What is the word of the Lord to our church in this season? To become a movement of hope is God's vision for our church. and to feed sheep is God's vision for our church, but it will only come through a first love. It will only come through a first love kind of relationship with Jesus. That's the only way we're ever really going to see that. Loving Jesus first and loving Jesus deeply, and then the light will shine, and then the lampstand will shine, and then the word will grow widely, and then the word will grow in power, because it comes from a heart that is on fire with a first love for Jesus. Because Jesus is our only hope, and we cannot give what we do not have. So what is the word of the Lord to our church? It's to go deeper, and now it's to prepare. Where do we start? Do we start by reorganizing something? Do we start by redecorating? Do we start by launching a new ministry? Do we start by launching a new outreach? No, we start in our heart. We start in our heart. Because the rest of it won't matter if the heart's not on fire with a first love for Jesus. So, how can we prepare? Three ways. 21 days of prayer and fasting. We've already talked about it. Get a devotional. Get up in the morning. Start with us. Do the daily reading. Do the daily prayer time. And let's read and pray and receive together. The second one is this series. Every Sunday for the month of January, we're going to gather together around this series, and we're going to talk about crying out to God. The third Sunday night of this month, we're going to have soak, and we're going to share communion as a family. But we're also going to do something we haven't done before. The next three Wednesday nights, we're going to open the sanctuary from 7 to 8 o'clock for prayer. There's not going to be a worship team. It's not going to be a service. It's prayer. We're just going to gather together, and we're going to pray, and we invite you to come 7 to 8. The whole hour, half the hour, do what you can do. I invite you to come and join us for prayer on Wednesday night. Now, here's the other thing. We're going to make space for God to move in our heart. We're going to make room. We're going to make room. And so you may notice that we've set some things out in the room this morning. And I want to explain to you what these are. We have five or six stations that I'm going to invite you to use on Sunday morning, on Wednesday night, during soak. Whenever you're here, they'll be out the whole month. Whenever you're here, you come and let the Holy Spirit guide you and help you engage with Him. So let me explain the stations. The first station is a cross. Now, we don't have a cross in the balcony. We have all the stations in the balcony, but we don't have a cross. These two are the ones that we have. So here's what you need to know. Every genuine renewal that God does has at the beginning of it repentance. Always. Always repentance. And so what I want to invite us to do during these 21 days, we have a card for you to come and write down your sin. Write down what you want to repent of. And then we have this little hammer, and we have some nails. Little hammer, so be careful. And some nails. And you can take this card, and you write what you need to write on it. If you want to use a code word or something, whatever you want to do, write what you want to write on it and turn it toward the cross and nail it to the cross. And let me tell you what the verse is that says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So, at some point in this series, this month, these 21 days, if you want to come and nail your sin, confess your sin to God, write it down and nail it to the cross. The second, let me do this. Just because I think sometimes when we get to that, people like, well, I mean, I never killed anybody. I'm fine. Well, some lists have over 100 sins in the Bible. Other ones have close to 600. Let me just read to you some of the sins that are in the Bible. Not all of them, because we don't have that kind of time. And let me just read them to you. And if any of them grab your heart, maybe the Holy Spirit is inviting you to repent. Here they are: idolatry, witchcraft, stealing, greed, verbal abuse, evil thoughts, sexual immorality, adultery, impurity, pornography, homosexuality, lust, hatred, strife, jealousy, anger, division, lying and deceit, envy, slander, pride, gossip, careless and idle words, boasting and bragging, drunkenness, wickedness, malice, hatred, haters of God, disobedient to parents. Some of the parents are like, amen. Unbelieving, knowing to do good but not doing it, lovers of self, lovers of money, ungrateful, cowardly, wrathful, bitterness, unforgiveness, laying up treasures on earth rather than treasures in heaven, and living for pleasure. Or maybe something I didn't even name. I'm not here to convict you. I got my own things to nail to the cross. I'm not here to convict you. But if the Holy Spirit invites you, then respond to Him. And then we have communion stations. Two here. We have two in the balcony. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. If you come to me, you'll never hunger and you'll never thirst. And if you want to come at any point and receive communion, you come and receive communion. And stand and hold your communion elements, receive them, and experience fellowship with Jesus. There's an interesting table in the back, right here, and then two in the balcony. We're just calling it grieving and letting go. Grieving and letting go. There are things that happen to us in life. The only way to move past them is to let them go. And so we've got a table filled with rocks. And the point is, if you have unforgiveness or bitterness or a wound or something that you need to let go of, I want to encourage you at some point today, this month, grab one of the rocks and put it in your hand and hold it. And think about that thing that you need to let go of. Maybe it's somebody you need to forgive. Think about that thing that you need to let go of. And on each table, we've put a bowl of water. And when you're ready, you take that rock and you put it in the bowl of water and just pretend that water is the presence of God, and you release it to Him. You say, God, I give this to you. I'm not going to carry it anymore. And that table also functions for those who are grieving. Maybe you lost a loved one. Maybe you lost a job. Maybe you lost a dream. Maybe you lost a relationship. And you've been grieving. And can I tell you, grief is absolutely one of the places that God's presence meets us. And if there's something you're grieving, you take that rock. And you know what? You might take another rock. I've done a lot of grieving in my life. I understand. It's not a one-time thing. This may be a step for you. And that's completely okay. You take that step and you say, God, I let go. And you put that rock in the water. And then there's our prayer needs area. If you have a prayer need, we have a card, two tables. You can put the prayer need right there. And you can put the prayer need down and pray over it. And we're going to have prayer team all over the room. And they are ready to pray for you if you have something, a need that you want to give to God. But when you leave that prayer need there, here's what we're going to do. When we gather on Wednesday nights, we're going to take these prayer needs, we're going to pray over them. And we're going to ask God to pour His Spirit and His grace out. And here's the last one. We took the first row of chairs out from the front because the last station is worship. And what we're going to do now is our worship team's going to lead us in a whole song, like 5 or 6 minutes. And as they do, if you want to move to the front in this open space and you want to surrender yourself to God and say, Lord, I give all that I am and all that I have, and I want to worship you. I just want to worship you. I yield myself, I surrender myself, and I give myself to you. If you want to do that, would you stand with me this morning? And so as we sing this song, this is the altar call. During this song, I want to encourage you, move to one of the tables. Come to the front and worship. If you want to stay right where you are in worship, that's completely okay. But whether you worship God in quiet, or you worship Him with your hands raised, or you worship Him at the front, or you worship Him in your chair, or you go to one of the tables, here's my invitation to you. Worship Him. Look at me. Worship Him with all your heart. Don't hold anything back. Everything you've got. It doesn't have to look like anything. It doesn't have to sound like anything. But you know in your heart, with all you've got, and let Him work with you. Lord, today we surrender ourselves. And we come to you, Lord. We cry out because we need you. We need revival and we need renewal and we need your presence and we need your power and we need your grace and we need to be washed and we need to be cleaned and we need to be filled. And so, Lord, for these next few minutes, we surrender and yield ourselves to you and we ask you to move mightily in our hearts. And Lord, we ask you to start right now, right now, right now. So what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? When is the last time you said to God, anything you want, I give everything that I have and everything that I am to you? As the worship team begins to lead us now, you move to wherever you need to move, or if nothing else, move your heart and let your heart open to Him. Let's encounter.